This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, I'm talking to Ian Ho, the Regional Managing Director for the Asian-focused e-commerce marketplace, Shopee. Now, 3.5 years since inception, Ian, some water under the bridge, and 3.5 years is a very long time in e-commerce circles. What are the key operational metrics in terms of how your operations are? Give us an update on those fronts.
Sure. Thank you, Chong. Thank you for having me today. Shopee is currently in 7 countries at the moment. So the countries covers Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, Vietnam, Philippines, as well as Taiwan. Across the 7 markets right now, some high-level metrics for you. We have more than 195 million users in the market. In terms of from a gross merchandise value point of view, up to Q3 of 2018, we have grossed about USD 6.8 billion. So we have continuously grown by leaps and bounds since our inception.
Gross merchandise value, I presume, is the amount of transactions done on your site in totality. What about for Malaysia specifically, and what are the month-on-month figures for the last, say, 6 months?
So I'm actually not at liberty to say what Malaysian numbers are, but I can share with you that in Malaysia, we have close to 60 million downloads as of...
Is that 1-6 or 6-0?
1-6.
In totality?
Correct. And if you look at our group's gross merchandise value, as of Q2 of last year, we have actually crossed the entire of 2017. So we have actually grown quite substantially since.
Okay, so when 16 million downloads from Malaysia, how does that compare to, say, Lazada?
I can't say for certain because Lazada doesn't really give out the numbers. But from a platform point of view, I think there are a couple of things that we look at. Number one, as you are quite well aware, our part of the world is very mobile-centric. So there's this app called App Annie out there, which actually tracks the downloads of all apps around the world. And if you look at our status on App Annie, we're constantly the number one downloaded app in Malaysia right now.
So which is the ranking you most look at most closely? And how do you compare with the multitude of other e-commerce platforms out there, including Muda and Lazada and Zalora and 11th Street and so on and so forth, and Carousel and all these guys? Who are the top dogs in the marketplace?
So you think about an e-commerce marketplace, right? What is an e-commerce marketplace? Essentially, we are like a shopping mall, which is just brought online. And if you look at a shopping mall, what do you care most about a shopping mall? You care about the amount of footfall, and you care about the time that someone spends shopping in the mall. So these are the same metrics that we look at from a mobile app point of view. Number one, we look at how many downloads that you have. Number two, we look at what we call daily active users, which actually tells you how many users actually come onto an app on a daily basis. And the third thing that we do is we track the average time spent that a user does on the app. So App Annie actually gives you data to all these three metrics, and we're confident that based on all this data, we're actually the number one player in Malaysia right now.
Okay, so is Malaysia your largest market of the 7 countries under your universe?
No, Indonesia is our biggest market, followed by Taiwan right now.
Okay, so Malaysia is what, number 3, 4, 5, 6?
It's about there, yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6. Mm. 3, 4, 5, 6 or 7?
It's around the 3 to 6 range.
Okay,
so the third to sixth markets are actually quite similar in size.
Okay,
and month-on-month, depending on whether the campaigns or not, is about the same.
So I presume a lot of the appeal for you guys at Shopee is the fact that you offer free shipping and you don't charge listing fees for your products, which is a big draw because other platforms do and they charge shipping, which means that you've got a huge cost in terms of subsidizing these costs or these services. How much longer will you be subsidizing these costs?
So I think for the foreseeable future, there will always be marketing costs that is involved in two things. One, getting new users to use the platform, and number two, to retain old users. So the type of subsidies they will do will probably differ from time to time. But in the foreseeable future, I still feel that there will be some advertising costs or marketing costs that we use to retain the users.
So when you talk about free shipping, and of course I just want to put some details out there, up to 5 kg or over 30 ringgit worth of value, you offer free shipping. So are these captured under marketing costs, or are they captured under some kind of like logistics administrative costs? How do you account for these things?
I think we account it as marketing costs. And to be exact, The free shipping limit has increased to minimum spend of 40 ringgit as of January this year.
Okay. So I guess the question really is, in your quest to get market share and to get higher rankings in terms of usage and penetration, you have offered these services for free. Our question to you already, I mean, after 3.5 years, and, you know, obviously this is something that Amazon has pursued for many, many years. How much longer would you be doing this?
So if you look at how we look at the market, I think advertising costs is always needed to actually educate the market about e-commerce and from the very onset. Right? If you look at online penetration in Malaysia as compared to offline retail, we're probably at the cusp of about 1.5 to 2%. So you look at places like China, look at places like the US, you're looking at close to 20, 25%. So I think in the quest to educate the market that e-commerce is actually okay, and that you should start to convert your buying behavior in e-commerce, I think for the foreseeable future, this is something that we will definitely continue to do. As for how we're going to do it, now, if you look at when we first started, free shipping, the minimum spend was actually zero. Right? Then we started to increase to 10, to 20, and most recently, we increased to 40. So as time goes by, what we can do to reduce our cost is to adjust the minimum spend.
Do you underwrite the shipping cost, or do you get a percentage of the commission of the shipping cost? I mean, what I'm saying is, in terms of revenue streams, does shipping fall into your into revenue streams?
Not at the moment. So how we make money right now, there are actually two ways that Shopee is monetizing right now. Number one, we monetize through payment fees. And the second way is we monetize through paid ads. How we work with the shipping providers is actually we pass on the cost to our providers. So right now we work with guys like Postaju, DHL, NinjaVan to ensure that we get the best shipping rates that we essentially pass on to the sellers.
Okay, so you don't capture any of that fee?
No.
So you talk about paid ads and payment charges, right? So commissions on value of items. Mm. What kind of margins are you enjoying on the payments?
For payment fees right now, we're looking at 1%. Yeah, and paid ads is actually a cost per click model.
So does the price increase, or do you take the 1% off the purchases?
1% off the purchase value.
Okay, so the price doesn't increase, right?
Exactly.
What are you getting from paid ads? What kind of numbers are you getting?
The numbers you're looking differs from country to country, and paid ads to paid ads. Yeah.
So details?
Can't share too much.
I understand you're listed under your parent to see in the which market?
New York.
Okay, so those numbers will be available?
Yes.
So why did you share them with us now?
Well, those are the Q3 numbers. So what we do is we only share the total revenue that we get.
Okay.
We're not breaking it down right now.
What's the reason for that? I thought that the markets are moving towards more transparent segregation by markets and demographics.
I'm not at liberty to say that.
Okay. Yeah. So paid ads, right? Which one is larger, paid ads or payment commissions?
Commissions right now.
Okay, yeah. But larger picture, right? Larger picture, what's the move towards increased revenue streams for Shopee?
I think if you look at it, payment fees is something that sellers are already used to in the market. So that when we switch on the engine there, that will continue to go. Paid ads as a form of revenue stream is something that sellers in this part of the world are starting to get used to. If you look at Taobao, sellers have been using paid ads on Taobao to make sure that the listings appear on top for the longest time.
Okay, so visibility,
exactly. So the market gets more and more educated, we will envision that a more steady stream of revenues will come from that angle.
So 2.5% is the penetration of retail versus conventional. China is what, 20-25% some parts of the world.
And if you look at it by category, categories like fashion is more than 50%. Categories like
Or Malaysia?
In China. Okay. In China. Categories like health and beauty is about 30-ish to 40. Electronics is about 30. So you have to break it down by category.
What's the Malaysia viewpoint?
Malaysia is right now about 1.5 to 2%.
Okay.
Fashion definitely much more. Goods like FMCG, fresh products is much lower.
So what are the forecast numbers?
There are no forecast numbers. I think the way we look at it, it's at least from my viewpoint, we're about 10 years behind China right now from an e-commerce penetration point of view. But are we going to take 10 years to catch up? Probably not. My best guess is I would take about maybe 5-6 years to catch up.
I'm talking this morning to Ian Ho, the Regional Managing Director for the Asia-focused e-commerce marketplace, Shopee. After this, I'm going to be asking you about the Malaysian digital tax, other challenges, for example, demand trends, fraud, privacy, as well as your global issues. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Ian Ho, the Regional Managing Director for the Asian-focused e-commerce marketplace, Shopee. Now, the digital tax that the Finance Ministry and Lim Guan Eng mentioned in the Budget 2019, what kind of details can you give us in terms of what, how and how that affects your business?
It does not affect our business right now. But I guess I understand that the government is also looking at how they should charge companies which are online. But when the news is out, we definitely adhere to whatever news is there,
Well, I think one of the ways was the indirect tax on logistics players, which will then affect, you know, the shipping costs and the transport costs to your ultimate clients, right?
Yep.
How will this play out? Will it pass it on? Will it be absorbed? Who underwrites the cost? How much will it be shared along the value chain?
So typically, the logistics providers would pay the tax first, and then the cost will be passed on to us. But given the economies of scale that we enjoy with the logistics providers, we have not seen an increase in cost as it stands.
It would impact e-commerce volume for sure, wouldn't it?
We are not feeling it right now. We continue to grow month on month.
Okay, so any discussions with the ministry, regulators on this issue? What's happening on the front?
I think the ministries are always consulting or actually having active discussions with us into how we should regulate the industry more. But I'm not at liberty to say what's being discussed at this standpoint.
Okay. What about issues like fraud and privacy? Okay. And I know a lot of vendors and sellers, they market their products and sometimes mm-hmm. they are, I guess they're not the most genuine in terms of the price or in terms of the quality. In terms of the products shipped, how are you protecting buyers on your marketplace?
So that's a very interesting question. So from the very beginning, we knew that when we started this business, we needed to protect the buyers first and foremost. So we came up with something called Shopee Guarantee, that when you make a purchase to the product, you're not making a direct transfer, money transfer to the buyer. You're actually paying to Shopee, which holds the money in escrow. And only after the recipient has received the good, you're happy with the good, and then we release the money to you. And at any point of your buying journey that you feel that the good is not good or it's spoiled, you can actually raise a refund and actually deal with the situation on a case by case basis.
So is this all products and services? Is it all products? And
all
for
products.
How long does the guarantee last for?
The guarantee lasts anything from 3 days up to 15 days, depending on which type of sellers that you buy from. If you buy from Shopee Mall, for example, we guarantee you up to 15 days.
So how do you compare product-wise and protection-wise and, basically usability-wise against your larger players like, your 11 Streets and your Lazadas and, even your Mudas? Mudas has a very, very entrenched position in the marketplace.
I think we are slightly different with some of these players. For one example I give you, right, is this holding about Shopee Guarantee and us holding the money in escrow and ensures that we reduce the fraud rate and scam rates down to the very minimum.
What's the percentage rates of fraud cases within the marketplace?
Less than 1%.
Yeah. How are these resolved in terms of mediation disputes?
So more often than not, there is a chat function within the Shopee app, which allows the buyers and sellers. So we actually encourage active communication between buyers and sellers. And if able to resolve it amongst themselves, more often than not, it's actually being resolved. I think most sellers nowadays are very mindful that they want to keep all these returning buyers, so they actually are very good in the customer service. But in the odd instances where we actually have to step in, we actually have a huge dispute team that collects evidence from both parties and then come to a resolution.
So when you say huge, how many people?
We're looking at maybe 30 people.
Per country?
In Malaysia right now.
In Malaysia. So let's talk about the 7 countries that you're a market place in. You say Malaysia varies between 3 and 6 position. Mm. Indonesia is the largest. Break it down for us. How many people have you got in each country?
Across the various countries, we have about 8,000 employees right now. I don't have the exact figure in terms of country by country breakdown, but by far, Indonesia is our largest market.
How many people roughly?
In the thousands.
Is that 1,000 or 1,000,000?
Several thousands. Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you share those numbers with us? Is it?
No, it's not confidential. It's just that I do not have it off the top of my head right now.
Okay, and then Malaysia, how many?
Malaysia, about 450 right now.
Well, I guess the reason I'm asking that question is really because of burn rate, yeah? Mm. Obviously, your parent continues to be, I guess the share prices continues to be under siege. Mm. We'll be talking about your parent in a few minutes, but it's incurring losses and the losses are getting wider. The path to profit becomes ever more urgent and the markets are getting weaker and weaker. Obviously the tech stocks are under siege as well in America. So it's really a case of containing costs. And what can you tell us about you know, cost management and cash management.
Mm. So I think we're not too worried about that. Number one, if you look at our balance sheet, it's actually quite healthy at the point. And I think we have a fire plan. Essentially, we know exactly what we're doing. The good thing about Shopee and one of the reasons why we have grown so quickly over the past 3.5 years is because of a very, very stable management team. The same team that started this company has been with us for the past 3.5 years. On a year-to-year basis, we're very clear about what we're trying to do, what we're aiming for, and where we're growing. And so this year for us was a year of monetization. So we started to turn on the tap to start making some money. And naturally, there are plans to essentially turn to profitability soon.
I'm talking to Ian Ho, the Regional Managing Director for the Asia-focused e-commerce marketplace, Shopee. So when you talk about that path to profit, when does it crystallize?
Again, I can't share that with you, but there are plans in the works.
Okay. So the thing is, your parents filed for IPO in New York, October 17. Tencent is one of your, in fact, is your biggest owner at 39.7%. And, you know, Forrest Lee, the owner himself, holds 20%. So between him and Tencent, they've got 60% stranglehold on the stock. But the stock has been under pressure. I think you came out public, but you are trading below IPO price. I think you came out at $15 a share. Now you're about $13.60 odd. I think that was last night's closing price. There's obviously distress on the stock in terms of its outlook for investors and potential investors in the stock as well. What can you tell us in terms of this part of the property? You must share some of this information because obviously it is completely germane to your business.
So I think we, as a shareholder of the company as well, I think we're not too concerned. Number one, the IPO price...
You're not too concerned that you continue to lose money?
The IPO price was actually at 14, not 15. I think the way we look at it is the business continues to grow. When we first went IPO, Shopee was not making money. Shopee was a very small part of the business. But the fact is, based on the recent records, Shopee has continued to grow from strength to strength. I think what we're doing is we're taking a very long-term view of the company. And as Shopee continues to grow, as the other parts of the business of the C could continue to grow, I think the share price will eventually reflect in itself.
You said you had a very strong balance sheet. How strong is strong?
I think we can look at the cash balance at the end of the Q3. It's more than $1 billion.
Okay. Now, the thing is, when I look at your Q3 numbers, your cost of marketing across all services, now, of course, Garena and AirPay, the payment platform, and of course, the Garena as well, the gaming platform, I think with Shopee, Form C's portfolio of businesses. Now, cost of marketing jumped 131% on the year to $175 million. That's in Q2. Q3, I don't know what the numbers are, but those are big numbers. For a loss-making company, that cash balance is depleted pretty quickly when you're talking about those numbers.
So I think there's nothing much we are worried about there. As I mentioned before, there's a fire plan on eventually how we're going to grow the company. If you look at most tech companies and e-commerce companies out there, it's a long road to profitability. But you know, with the things that we have done, and now the fact that we're the number one player in each of the market they were in, we're quite confident of the path to profitability.
Well, you know, Ian, you do look calm. You're sitting there quite calmly. You're smiling at me. You know, and obviously you say you've got a path to profit, and you know you're not concerned about the losses, and you've got this fire plan. You haven't told me the details of that fire plan. But the issue is this. Your parents' losses are widening. Your cost of marketing across all services is getting bigger. You don't have a detailed plan for a path to profit, at least not publicly. And the markets generally, led by the FANG stocks of the last few years, are weakening considerably. Apple, Microsoft, Netflix, etc., Twitter, etc., they are advertising-based, but they are also dwindling rapidly. So we are entering a very volatile period. And yet you sit there very placid and very very calm. Why the calmness? Give us some details. What gives you this comfort, this confidence?
I think the fact on you know what gives me the confidence to sit here and be calm is that we are quite aware of our pace of growth in all the markets they were in. If you look at our growth, if you look at the potential of growth, we definitely see it there. You know, as I mentioned to you, a lot of people come to me and say, you know, you have 60 million users in Malaysia. The Malaysian population is about maybe 35 right now at most. You know,
yeah, I mean, gross merchandise value is easy to exaggerate, isn't it? I mean, your former chief has also talked about how
GMV... it's different because we are public. So all our GMV is actually recorded, and you have to be very strict about how we do our, it's audited, right, at the end of the day. And if you look at how we make money, it's commission. So it's a payment fees. It's definitely going to be a percentage of GMV, and we try to grow that GMV as much as possible. But look at the potential.
But GMV is not a big component of your revenue stream. As you mentioned, you said paid ads is a bigger component of your
payment
business.
Fees are a bigger component of our business than paid ads is.
So tell us, for your 6-7 countries in the region, what were your payment commissions, your fees?
So right now, it's anything from 1% to 5%, depending from country to country. In countries which are more mature, like Taiwan, we take up to 5%. In the other markets, more often than not, we take about 1%. Right. So if you look at it, right, I think how the growth would be like is what I keep harping on. You know, we are only 1.5% of offline retail right now. Right? And the potential to growth is at least 10, 15 times from where we are right now. Just on the gross merchandise value point of view.
Do you anticipate a period of consolidation in the e-commerce space? For example, Alibaba is the big dog in the room and they still outrank you guys. But to get market share, is there a possibility that they might just buy you guys out one day?
You know, I don't think we would dispute the fact that that may happen. But I'm aware, nothing of that is happening right now.
And Ian, you earlier said that one of the strengths of the business is the fact that you've got the original management team. But then when I look at it, some of the key executives have been leaving. Group strategy officer Alan Halliwell, he left the company, I think, November last year. He was a former investor relations guy. President Nick Nash, he retired, I think, 2018, February. And then Jin Oh, he used to head Garena. He left the firm August 31st, Merdeka Day. Mm-hmm. Let me correct myself there.
When I mentioned that, I was referring to the Shopee management team there. So the original
people. But more indicatively, why are key executives leaving key Shopee portfolio businesses? Is there something to be read into the exodus?
No, I can't comment on that because that is way above my pay grade.
Okay. Well, what about yourself then? What's the next 12 months? 24 months going to hold in store for Shopee?
So I think there's a lot of things that we're doing right now. I think this is the year where we start to improve our customer service. So what we've been doing is we've been getting more and more brands onto Shopee more. Some of the brands that you are probably familiar with, like say Metro Jaya, has actually joined MyDean, Tesco have actually joined Shopee quite recently. So with more and more of these brands coming on board, we believe that they bring about a different type of assortment as well as our service to the end consumers. The other thing that we've been doing quite aggressively as well as we started to have our own warehouse services, inshallah. So you think about it, right? Why would a consumer choose to shop online? I think that there are a couple of things that we try to do better. Number one, we need to ensure that the assortment mix is right for them. Number two is about discovery. So if I have the assortment, when you say, Chuang, you search for a product, I need to make sure that the correct product is given to you. And the third thing that we ensure on is from an operational point of view. If you decide to purchase the product, you know how quick does it get to your house? When you get it, are you happy with it? And so on and so forth. So these are things that we're trying to work on. Essentially, you think about, you mentioned earlier about us doing heavy advertising. But if I advertise so much to get you to come on the platform, how do I retain you? Everything here that I talk about assortment, about discovery, about operation, is to essentially retain you.
Okay, man. Well, Ian, good luck with the plan. We'll hope to speak to you again in about 1 or 2 years' time and see the progress on that front. So thank you for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you.
That was Ian Ho, the Regional Managing Director for the Asia-focused regional e-commerce site Shopee, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile for unlimited experiences. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.